He was wanting to put me that new mic on there, and I said, "All right, you ever get carnal when you go to church?" I got thinking when I was a boy, I used to cultivate with a mule. And you try to put a new bridle on an old mule, he'll shake his head like that. And I said, "That's exactly what I did. I guess that's the mule coming out of me, or the redneck." I don't know what I'm doing here with all you dignified folk. You know, they say how you can tell if you're a real redneck, if your Halloween pumpkin's got more teeth than your wife. Well, that's what they told me. But I tell you, I was telling Brother Joe, he said, "How you doing?" I said, "Pretty good for an old man." Old age is complicated. You realize that? I mean, I've got baldness, bifocals, bridges, and bulges, and bunions, and batteries, and looking for a bedpan. Amen? It's just bad. Amen? But anyway, we're glad that you're here. I'm not going to take up much time. I want you to take your Bibles. King James Bible. John chapter number 1. Let's all stand in reverence to the King James Bible. The Bible God uses. That's why I like Brother Sheldon Smith, praise God. I'm glad he's directing the independent movement the right way, amen. Well, I don't guess I said a bad word, did I? But anyway, let me say another. Sammy Allen. I'm trying to find out what crowd's here, amen. Not that it would make any difference. Joe Arthur. But anyway, it's good to be here today. And I appreciate Brother Ennis and Bikeness. And I'm like Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. said one time, I'm as nervous as a naked man at a mosquito convention. You know, I've been preaching 43 years, so I still get nervous. How about that? But I hope I never get over it, because I am sure dependent upon him. John chapter number 1. Now, I've been using Schofield Bible for a long time. Don't cuss me. But I've been, because I got used to it, you know, right-hand page, you know, and I just still use it. But I don't like that St. John. St. John. I heard the other day the Pope was about to become a saint. Does that mean he's about to get saved? Because all of God's people are saints. Amen. That's exactly right. But in the book of John, we'll begin reading in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, don't count them now, but when you go home tonight, in chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse number 5, I want you to count the number of words in those five verses. Now, here's the reason. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, in the Old Testament tabernacle, they had a candlestick, and it had almond branches, and they were 66 knops on that candlestick. They 66 books in this Bible. There are 66 words from verse 1 down to the end of verse number 5. You reckon God had anything to do with writing this book? Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? That's exactly right. But notice in verse 14 is our text tonight. And the Word, capital W. I like to use that with Jehovah's Witnesses. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Boy, Baptists need to be full of that, don't they? Grace and truth. We got a lot of grace, a lot of truth, not much grace. Amen. Our son got so much grace that they don't have any truth. I believe y'all have a balanced ministry. I believe y'all have a balanced marriage. You can tell if you're married to a redneck if there's a snuff spit coming out both sides of your car. Amen. But anyway, y'all get that after a while. But I want to deal with this subject tonight. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being with these dear folk. And I pray tonight that you'd settle us into the message. Help us to preach as if we'd never preach again, as a dying man to a dying congregation. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us some help tonight that'll help us through this wicked world that we're living in today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. I commented the other day to one of my men that I believe that we're living in the most wicked days I've ever seen since I've been around. I never would have thought I'd have to preach on incest or sodomy when I first started preaching. I've never seen so much fornication and adultery as we're seeing in these days, and drugs and drinking, and just seem like every kind of sensual sin that can be imagined. And so I got to thinking, I've got people in my church that have lost their jobs, they've lost their businesses. I've got people that are having a hard time financially, emotionally, morally. And it just seemed like the devil's turned all his guns upon the Baptist church. And to combat these wicked days, I'm glad tonight that I can declare that we have a Bible. Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. I feel God moving in here a little bit. Somebody open the back door. I'll run plumb out to Durham. Amen. Wherever. I don't know where I'm at. But anyway, I'm glad we've got a Bible. Amen. And to combat these wicked days, we got a Bible. In this Bible, we have a grand subject, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is His book. Amen. This is not just history. This is His story. Amen. I believe that in the living word. I believe in the written word. And I believe you could take a pen and prick the body of Jesus anywhere and blood would come out of it. And I'm glad you can prick this book anywhere, and it's a bloody book. Amen. Amen. There's a scarlet thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. But in this book, we have a glorious person, and there's three words that are said about this person that I do not understand. He was made. Now, if you can understand that, I'll sit down and listen to you. Amen. But there's some things I cannot explain, but I guarantee I can enjoy. Amen. And the Bible said He was made. Nobody else in the world could be made what He was made. In fact, there's nobody in the world like God. The Bible said in John 1:18, Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now Jesus is standing on the earth. But He said at the same time, He said, I'm in the bosom of the Father. 93 billion light years away, pretty good little leap, amen? Well, how could He be up there and be here at the same time? He's God, amen. I said He's God, amen? He's not somebody's little statue in somebody's front yard. He's not a picture hanging on the wall, but He is God, amen. And the Bible said this eternal God, that He was made flesh. I want to preach tonight just a little bit on how can we make it? I can make it because He was made. I can make it because He was made. And in the Bible, that statement is mentioned several times in the Bible, and I'll just preach till I get tired and then sit down. I found out about, if you don't strike oil in about 30 minutes, sort of quit boring. And I found out the seat can't receive what the mind... the mind can't receive what the seat can endure. Amen. And so, but there's some places that I want to bring out tonight that tells us that we can make it because He was made. Now, the Bible said in John 1:1-2, at the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Bible said in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. Now, notice that. The Bible said that eternal Word was made flesh. Now, when I was going, well, I don't know what name schools, yeah, but I was going to Fruitland Bible Institute. I was a Southern Baptist when I got saved. And I was ordained and licensed a Southern Baptist, but I'm glad God gave me a little light on that about 1972, and I came out, and I'm not going back in, right? But I was in a Southern Baptist school, and you know what they taught me? They taught me about the historical Christ. He said Jesus became God when he was baptized, and he ceased to become God when he died on the cross. That's not a historical Christ. That is a hysterical Christ. Amen. I'm glad he's the eternal Son of God. Amen. Oh, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm just simply saying that he did not become God when he became flesh. But it was not flesh when he made the world. The Bible said in John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was not flesh when he said let there be light. He was not flesh when he divided the firmament. He was not flesh when he said let the waters be separated. He was not flesh when he said let the dry land appear. He was not flesh when he hung the lights in the sky. He was not flesh when he told the waters to bring forth abundantly. He was not flesh when he made living creatures a man, but he was God. Woo! Oh, excuse me. I forgot I was a doctor. Amen. Now listen to you. I'm glad, thank God, that the God I serve is a big God. Amen. Oh, my dad died several years ago, and he had a tag on the front of his car. God is bigger than any problem I have. I still believe that, don't you? Now, he was not flesh, but he was God. The Bible said he was made flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If God was going to have some headlines, he'd say he was made flesh. He's dwelling among us. That word dwelt, of course, if you studied out, it means just like that Old Testament tabernacle had the Shekinah on the inside. That body, that flesh of the Lord had God on the inside. And every once in a while, God would step out. Amen. I'm glad God came out every once in a while, right? But I was studying. I teach my boys down at the college to preach out of the overflow. Sometimes I get too much overflow, all right? And I'm trying to chase a rabbit right now. I'm going to try to call him back. But I was studying today. I was studying today on the tabernacle. And you know, if you go in the tabernacle on the south side, is the seven golden candlesticks. On the north side is a table of showbread, because that presents his body that was to be broken for us. The table of showbread was on the north. Guess what gate was on the north? The sheep gate. Guess what was on the other side of the sheep gate? Calvary, praise God, amen. And he was led as a lamb through that sheep gate to go to Calvary, and then they cut stones out of Calvary and made the temple that Solomon built, amen. No use trying to get in the temple until you get cut out of Calvary, amen. They cut the stones out, they carved the stones out, they chiseled the stones out and carried them to the city and made the temple. Now the Bible said that Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was God tabernacled. Oh, yes, he was. I want to tell you something. Every nerve was divine handwriting. Every bone was divinely sculptured. Every muscle was a pulley divinely swung. But I want to tell you something. When you think about him being God in the flesh, there's never a better picture of that than at Calvary. It was upon flesh that Pilate's merciless scourge fell. It was into flesh that the crown of thorns were pushed. It was through the flesh that the nails were driven. It was from the flesh that the crimson blood came flowing. It was upon the flesh that the hard hand slapped. Hey, you know who they're slapping? They're slapping God. Amen? That was God in the flesh. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad he tabernacled. I'm glad he dwelt among us, because when he dwelled in the flesh, he conquered the sins of the flesh. He healed the diseases of the flesh. He drove away the fiery fevers of the flesh. He cured the leprosy of the flesh. He straightened out the bones of the crippled flesh. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And raised dead flesh. But I'm glad, thank God, on that resurrection morning, I'm telling you, God came out of that tomb, amen. I'm glad he came out, left it smelling like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And gave us a promise in his resurrection is our justification. Go to chase another rabbit right here. Amen. I was standing on the mercy seat. I preached on it last Sunday. Had two or three got saved last Sunday. Hey, mercy! mercy is for those that are miserable. I was tracing the mercy seat through the Bible. And there was always angels looking over the mercy seat, shadowing the mercy seat, standing up, their wings almost touching each other over the mercy seat. And you can start away back in the Garden of Eden, the mercy seat there at the door, the gate of paradise, and go all the way down to resurrection morning. Now listen, I'm going to throw something out. This is Simpson knowledge. You can take it or not, all right? But the Bible said that when they went in there, the Bible said there was an angel sitting at the head of the tomb. There was an angel sitting at the feet of where Jesus was laid, but the body was gone. I want to tell you something. Here we have two angels looking at each other over the mercy seat. And he is the propitiation, amen? He is the mercy seat. When I saw something I'd never seen before. Hey, you know what? In the Old Testament, those angels were standing on the mercy seat, and the mercy seat was there. But in the tomb, they were sitting on each side of the mercy seat because the mercy seat had done left out, had gone to glory, had put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, amen? I'm about to shout. Now listen to me now. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad that he was made flesh. Now you say, preacher, why was he made flesh? Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high priest. Why was he made flesh? So that he could face everything that we'd ever have to face. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know where you're going to have to face something tonight. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Yet without sin. He was made flesh. I've got to hurry. Secondly, he was made of a woman. Very important. The Bible said in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Now, Jesus didn't come so we could have Santa Claus. That Jesus didn't come because so we could give gifts on the Christmas tree, but he was made of a woman to redeem us from the curse of the law. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've got a Bible that says a young woman, it's the wrong Bible. Amen. Because the Bible said in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A young woman having a baby is not a sign. Oh, no. But a virgin having a baby is a sign. Now, I just kind of believe this, praise God. If you're going to trust him, you've got to believe all of him. I believe you've got to believe his birth. I believe you've got to believe his spotless life, his vicarious death. I believe you've got to believe he was buried. And I believe you've got to believe on the third day he rose again. I don't think you can peek through it. This is not a K and W. This is the Word of God. Amen. Got to take it all. I feel a mean streak coming on, but I'm telling you right now, listen to me. That is a cardinal doctrine in the Bible. The virgin birth of the Son of God. I'm glad that our Savior's not in an ivory palace, but I'm glad he came to where we were. And to be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And that event has only occurred one time to the Virgin Mary. Amen. That kind of blows evolutionists out the back door. You know, we evolved from something to another. Well, why don't they produce another one? I mean, why don't they try out another one? Amen. They can't do it. You know why? He did not evolve. But I want to tell you what, he was virgin born of Mary. Look what the angel said in Luke 1:34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. She said, Mary, I'm going to build a tabernacle with God on the inside. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. There was a man that helped Moses build the tabernacle in the Old Testament. His name was Bezalel. And you know what his name Bezalel means? The one that overshadows. You reckon God knew what he's doing? Amen. That tabernacle in the Old Testament that Bezalel directed it putting together, it's a picture of the Holy Ghost overshadowing the womb of Mary to birth the Son of God into this world so we can be saved by the grace of God. Amen? Oh, yes. Now listen to me real close. I'm trying to get through. Listen to me real close. Everything that God births, He breathes on. I'm glad He breathed on me. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. I remember when the Holy Ghost got me under conviction and that brought me to Calvary and I got saved by the grace of God. But I'm glad that God breathes. And when God breathes, I want to tell you something. He birthed something. He breathed on virgin soil and out came a man. He breathed on virgin words and out came a Bible. He breathed on a virgin womb and out came a Savior. He breathed on a virgin tomb and out came a high priest. Now daddy's going to breathe on a sky someday, a virgin sky someday. And out come the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Everything God mercy breathes on. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Amen. The Bible said in Genesis, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, the waters. The Bible said in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I pick up RSV and don't feel no breath on it. I listen to an NIV preacher, he had no breath on him. Amen? I tell you who's got the breath of God on preachers. Let's stick with this old King James Bible. Now, don't you come up here and argue with me. Hey, there's some things I know, there's some things I know well, and you can't handle it. If you're not going to stick with the King James, change the name of your church to a Catholic church because the other versions came out of the same text as a Catholic text. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. Praise God. Amen. And I got the right Bible, too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Virgin birth. He was made flesh. Marvelous event. He that lived long before Mary was chosen to be made of her. He who was loved of God before the foundation of the world accepted God's choice of Mary to be the vehicle where he would become the virgin-born Son of God. He was the firstborn of every creature, yet he became the firstborn of Mary. He was younger than his mother and older than his father. Explain that. I can't. I'm just saying he was made of a woman. We see the event. We see the enormity of it. Oh, that virgin birth, that supernatural birth is the alpha of our Christian faith. That's the first thing you need to believe, that he was virgin born. If he was not virgin born, if he was not God, then we are still in our sins. But I'm glad he's the alpha. But it said in Revelation, he's the omega too. He's the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. Well, I'd like to say something. He's every letter in between too. Amen. I want to tell you everything you need, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Amen. You deny the virgin birth, and like a planet that leaves its orbit, there's no telling where your unbelief will take you. Believe the virgin birth. The virgin birth is his incarnation to tell us how that God created his birth. Virgin birth was his redemption so he could save us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something before and during his incarnation and after his incarnation. Thank God he is our security. Why is he our security? Because there's a man in heaven. Amen. Thank God we don't have a hope in a pope, but thank God there's a man in heaven that is our intercessor, our advocate, our lawyer, taking our place. Amen. Forever settled in heaven. He was made of flesh. He was made of a woman. His virgin birth teaches us that he was divine. But yet, at the same time, he was human. He was so human he became tired, but he's so divine that he could say, "Now come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He was so human that he became hungry, but he was so divine that he'd take five loaves and two fishes and feed 5,000. He was so human, he became thirsty, but so divine that he could walk on the water. He was so human that he had to pray, but he's so divine that not once did he confess sin. He was so human that he had to go to sleep, but he was so divine that he woke up out of the bow of that ship and walked on the waters and said, "Peace be still." And that raging stallion of a storm laid down his feet like a little puppy. He was so human that he accepted a girl's invitation to a wedding. But it was so divine that he changed the water into wine. He was so human that he was tempted in all points. But he's so divine that he said, "Who convinces me of sin?" He was so human that he wept. But he was so divine that he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was so human that he grew in wisdom and stature. But he was so divine that he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. There in that little crib, he is holding the world in his hand. Amen. I don't understand that, but I believe every word of it. Amen. He was made flesh. He's made woman. But the Bible said in Galatians 4, he was made under the law. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of the woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, you know what I like? I love that Bible. But you know what I like about that Bible? It tells us from his birth, in his ministry, at his death, at his resurrection, he was always in control. Then there was a time that he was not in control. In fact, you see, he arranged his own death sentence. In fact, you know what he said on that Passover night? He said, "Let this cup pass from me." Now, you know what that means? There was a fourth cup in that Passover. And that fourth cup was supposed to be drank the next day at 3 o'clock. But he said, "If I drink that fourth cup with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow," he said, I cannot be at Calvary. He said, "Let this cup pass from me so that I can fulfill that scripture to every jot and every tittle." Now I want to tell you something, hanging on that cross for 6 hours, just as soon at 3 o'clock as the high priest cut the lamb there in the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished." To the very second. Amen. He was God. He was made under the law. And the Bible said, because of that, blotting out the handwriting of our ordinances against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's talking about a sin debt. And in that day, when a man got his debt paid, somebody go take that debt and take a nail and nail it to the cross, and everybody in the community know the debt had been paid. Oh, let's take a trip to Calvary. Let's look at those nails in his hand. Hey, you know what that tells us? Once saved, always saved. Couldn't go to hell if you want to, because he didn't just take our past sins and our present sins, but he took all of even our future sins and nailed them to the cross. And hallelujah, our sins are gone. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe anything. Amen. The Bible said he took it out of the way. I like to study verb tenses. Now, don't kill me, but I like to study verb tenses. And when it said he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross, the tense of the verb is this, that he took it out of the way once and for all, never to be presented again. Thank God, I'm glad in heaven. I'm glad I'm justified. I'm glad the old account was settled long ago. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He was made flesh. He was made of a woman. We can make it because he was made under the law. But we can make it because he made him in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what Jesus did? When Jesus went to Calvary, he took all our sins upon him. And he stood before God with all of our sins upon him so that we could stand before God with none of our sins upon us. Hey, I want to tell you something. Listen, if you ain't got it yet, salvation is in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my place. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be made the righteous of God in Him. I'm glad Jesus took my place. Amen. I got to hurry. He was made flesh. He made of a woman. He was made under the law. He was made to be sin. Five maids. The fifth one is, he was made alive. When they were singing that song, I said, well, I got the right one tonight. I may not have, but I think I have. Amen. But they got to sing, he's alive. I want to tell you, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. And the Bible said in John 20:9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Can I remind you, Baptist, just one more time, that outside the city of Jerusalem there is an empty tomb. Amen. I'm glad he is not. Hey, you know what they did? They took DNA samples from the tomb, and they took it to England, and they studied it. Guess what they found out? Nobody was in the tomb, ever in the tomb. Amen. Well, they're just about 2,000 years late for me. I believe that Bible. I believe that Bible. Amen. And the Bible said he was made alive. For as in Adam, all die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I want to tell you something. He's our substitute. But more than that, everybody born in this world was in Adam. Everybody's condemned. You say, I'm a hyper-Calvinist. You're a dummy. That's what you are. Amen? Amen. I believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Can I remind you that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Did they or did they not? Yes. And they hid themselves because they were depraved. But those depraved dead sinners could hear the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Yes. What are you going to do that about that, Mr. Calvinist? Yes. And what are you going to do about it? I just preached to the book of Ruth and wrote a book on the book of Ruth. And I came down there to where Boaz paid Elimelech's debt. Who did he pay it for? He paid it for Naomi. He paid it for Ruth. But he also paid it for Orpah. And she didn't get saved. I'm glad that the Bible tells that he's a propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. If Orpah had come back to Jerusalem, her sin debt had already been paid for. But she turned and went back and died and went to hell. Hey, listen to me. And yet her sin debt was paid for. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here's what I'm saying. Well, I tell you, this got a hold of me one day in the study, and I like to tour the study up. And that just blessed me. But you know, I was reading over there that all died in Adam. One man put the whole human race under judgment. But one man made it possible for every man to be saved. I was reading one day where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible said he was a righteous man, but I never hear that about his wife. I never hear that about his three sons. I never hear about the three daughters-in-law. But I want to tell you something, because of Noah, all of them got on board. Hey, we're not going to heaven because we're righteous. But I'm glad there was one that came that was righteous. And because of him, thank God I'm on the old ship of Zion. The door is sealed for the duration of the trip. Amen. You say, why? The Bible said he was raised for our justification. He was made flesh. He was made of woman. He was made under law. He was made to be sin. And he was made alive. I'd like to announce tonight, he's alive. Amen. Thank God we serve a living Savior. Amen. No dead king could cause those 12 disciples to give their lives as a martyr. No dead king would cause the Apostle Paul to lay his head on that chopping block. And no dead king could cause our forefathers
that leaves Europe that came over here and established a nation under God. I want to tell you something. No dead king could cause a preacher to leave his home, a missionary to leave his home, and go and give his life for the gospel. No dead king could do that. No dead king got us up this morning and brought us down to the house of God so we could sit here and listen to singing and preaching and have our hearts warm. No dead king did that. I want to tell you, no dead king saved this old drunk. No dead king saved that old woman and put her in the choir. That's an amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. No dead king could get an old boy like old Dale Garris down in our church. We worked on 19 years. And you know what he's doing? He's cooking biscuits for the bus church every Sunday morning. Amen? No dead king could do that. But I want to tell you something. Praise God. I'm glad he's a living Savior. I'm glad he's alive tonight. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? For the last 30, 45 minutes, I've been trying to say, we can make it. Because he is alive. Because he was made.